Calling to order the KPFA LSB regular meeting for Saturday, December 29th. And I will accept roll call now.
Yeah, 2018. Roll call, Carol Wolfley. Calling roll, Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon Adams, present. Ahmad Anderson.
Present.
Ahmad Anderson, present. Marilla Arguelles.
Present.
Marilla Arguelles, present. William Campisi.
Present.
William Campisi, present. Chris Corey.
Here.
Chris Corey, present. Brian Crowell.
Here.
Brian Crowell, here. Christina Huggins.
Here.
Christina Huggins, here. Scott Olson. Scott Olson, absent. TM Scruggs requested an excused absence. Aki Tanaka.
Present.
Aki Tanaka, present. Ramses Tion Nichols. Ramses absent. Carol Travis.
Here.
Carol Travis here. Andrea Turner requested excused absence. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees here. Carol Wolfley present. Carol Wolfley present. Lisa Detmer. Lisa Detmer, excused absence request. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina Jacobs here. Tim Lynch requested an excused absence. Richard Walensky requested an excused absence. Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. Quincy McCoy requested an excused absence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14, we have a quorum. I would like to make a motion that we excuse the absence of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those members who have requested it.
Do you have a second? Yes?
Yes, are we going to have the report of the written report since she's not here physically?
I believe that he was sending it. I'm not sure at this point. I thought that I'll have to look and see if I've got it online.
Yeah, I think there was some confusion because some people did not get back to us, and we weren't sure that there was if there was going to be a quorum. So I'm not sure if he was maybe planning on coming and then didn't come. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, he did request an excused absence, but I had thought that he was sending the report. So let me find out that as soon as possible. He has said he was sending it, so I will look into it. Thank you. On the motion to accept the excused absences, all in favor, raise your hands. All opposed? Abstentions? And Ahmad said yes. The motion passes.
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. So I will read the group agreements as we do at every start of every meeting. Our group agreements are as follows. Audio recording of the meetings is available at kpftx.org. No video recording permitted at LSB meetings. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name-calling or personal insults. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair. Honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. The next motion will be to approve the agenda. Yes, Carol?
I move that we approve the agenda with any changes that are agreed upon. And then I would like to make it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I would like to make some additions to the agenda. I would propose that we have a point on the elections, since the general manager is not here for a report, that we have replace that with the election report on what's happening with the election and elections. That's the first point, and I think it should come up front. And there's an issue about have a requirement in the bylaw to have elections in December. That's in the bylaw, so I think that needs to be addressed. So I would replace general manager report with a report on the elections. And I would add on old business, the town hall meeting that we discuss the next town hall meeting, and also that we have a update on multimedia, a report of some activities around multimedia, and add that under old business as well. Those 2 points. Is there a second again?
Do I have a second on that? Wait. Carol wanted
second.
To amend her original motion.
No, I wanted to say something.
She wanted to add something.
So we're now speaking on your motion, which includes elections at the front as a substitute
yes.
for the GM report and the addition of what?
The addition of a town hall meeting under old business and multimedia, report on multimedia and activities around work around multimedia.
Where? Under?
Under old business.
Under old business?
Yes.
Under old business. Okay. All right. I want to just speak on the elections because elections are for delegates, and we don't have anybody here who can speak authoritatively on elections. That's all in the hands of the LES and the NES, and it's off and running. And so I don't think we should have a discussion of that. I don't care about the others. And then I have some of my own things, but it'll be a separate amendment.
Thank you. I'd like to request just a moment to see if I can find the GM report that Quincy said he sent to me in my emails. So please hold on just one moment.
Okay. I want to just clarify a couple things. Number 11, old business, is LSB election update. So that's already on the agenda. I want to propose that we switch number 9 with number 8 to have the PMB reports, which may include some information about the election. I think, and so I'd like to switch the PMB reports with number 8 to put it before the Pacifica bylaws. Now, I'd like to see if we can work this out without a lot of motions, because I also don't have any paper in front of me, and if I don't have paper, we don't have a motion.
So I do have Quincy's report right here, and I can read it.
Well, you should
put
the general manager report in the agenda, right?
Right.
Okay, yes.
And can
so
you,
that would change the substance of what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, can you just email it to us?
Is that the desire of the body? So we'll take a vote on. Would you all just like me to email it to you? Okay.
But it should be read.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll read it and I will send it.
On my motion, so there is a motion on the table to have an election point, and I would put it, before the Quincy's report, and also these other two under old business, town hall meeting and multimedia.
Well, first, it's not clear what your motion is now that we're having the GM report where it's already situated. And if you have a motion, we need the motion in writing given to our secretary.
This isn't...
thank you. Go ahead. Sharon was next.
Okay. I know there's some ambiguity about Steve's motion, but I just want to say that from what I heard him say, town hall, the next town hall is not old business, which is what he classified it as, because we've never discussed another town hall. And the multimedia report is also not old business, because we ended that, as I recall, at our last meeting. We finalized and completed that topic. So those would have to be new business, if anything at all.
That's correct. All right. So the motion that you're writing right now that you need to give to the secretary is what now? We can wait.
The motion is to put the election report and the elections before the general manager's report, and to add under old business the multimedia update, because there's some proposals on multimedia which continue from the report that was made on multimedia to the board, and also town hall meetings to continue that discussion. And there was a discussion about further town hall meetings, so I think that should be old business. It's a continuing discussion about the town hall meetings.
Bill.
A point of information. Was someone here planning on giving a report on the status of the elections?
Well, yeah, but was someone going to do it?
Okay. I think that what we need to do is access the Pacifica National website, and in the record, someone read into the record the timeline for the election. It's my understanding that there's a PNB report today. And Chris, from your phone, could you read, you know, when we get there? So I think we need to go over the new timeline.
Okay, I think this is becoming unnecessarily complicated here. So I would like to vote on the agenda. First, we have to vote on Carol's amendment and Steve's.
Steve's
amendment.
First.
Okay. Okay, so first on Steve's amendment. And did you want to read it, Carol?
Okay. I just want to go over the form. You have to put your name on any motion. Please use these papers in the future, but put your name on a motion. Standard procedure, put your name, put the date, put LSB meeting. So I can do it for you. Okay, motion to move election issue before manager's report, motion to move multimedia and town hall meetings to old business.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, raise your hand.
Motion to move elections issue before manager's report. Motion to move multimedia and town hall meetings to old business.
Now that's the motion we're voting on. All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? And Ahmad?
Huh?
Did Ahmad vote?
Oh. He did not vote. He abstained.
Abstention. Two abstentions. Anybody else abstaining? Three abstentions. So what is the count, Sharon?
Five and five.
5 and 5. I think we need to, we actually need to decide on this, so. Okay, change his vote to a no. The motion fails. The agenda's approved. Did you want to?
Carol.
Well, okay, you had a motion originally that we never voted on because Steve amended it, so. And you have another motion on the agenda? Okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
My motion is to add a treasurer's report, a brief treasurer's report after the CAB report.
Can we combine those two?
It's already there.
It is?
Yeah. Item 9. Unless it's been...
Do I have a second? Are there any objections? Second. All those in favor of having a brief treasurer's report after the community advisory board report?
And switching, because we're doing it all together as one. And switching.
And switching items 8 and 9. All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? The motion passes. Now we're... It's a very complicated agenda process. All right, so all those in favor of approving the agenda as amended, raise your hand.
Nine.
All those opposed?
One.
Abstentions?
One.
The agenda is approved. We're coming to public comments. We're going on to public comments. We just did want to clarify before we go into public comments that the motion that we passed on October 20th, 2018 was, be it resolved, that the KPFA local station board supports coverage of the dire situation of Julian Assange, an independent media voice, and calls for end to attacks on journalists and whistleblowers by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government. Just as a point of information, we'll go on to public comments. Okay, 3 minutes each.
Use the microphone over here at the end of the far table.
Point of information, right before we start taking comments, is we have a clarification of Robert's rules that tie votes fail. Thank you for looking that up for us, Bill.
Public comment, 3 minutes. I'm going to do that, sir. I'm Joe Pertensky. The Pertensky family were members since 1949. I was 7 years old when my dad was putting the FM antenna in Antioch, California. And my comment today is regarding the two things. The general manager's phone number is answered with this line. It has all messages full, and then it goes into error time after time after time after time. When I did go to the general number and leave a message for KPFA, I had a nice woman who apparently every Wednesday responds, and she possibly could have heard my messages with the general manager, but it doesn't seem to be a general manager backup that's a voice to the human, other than the box is all full and you're in error. It just clicks into error. So I've had difficulty contacting. I've sent the general manager an email or two with no response. When we had the meeting at the Unitarian Church that was canceled, I was going to propose the same thing I was asking the general manager, which has to do with extensive outreach to Contra Costa County, as well as my suggestions for how to include the engagement of members in that area who can have a possible way of extending. We don't need just the volunteers at the office. We need, if at all possible, engagement of all the members, and particularly Contra Costa County, as well as maybe a bookstore or two in that area. And I had suggested that. But to two meetings of the Community Advisory Board in the last 2 years, and apparently you get a report on the Community Advisory Board at every meeting, and there hope to be one today, item number seven. My hope is that when we do have item number 12, which I understand is going to be on your agenda today, that the idea of outreach be included in a more generic term, not only the staff, not only the people who volunteer at the headquarters, but also increase the potential for members in the community, particularly in Contra Costa County, to maybe share an extra bulletin or have a list of the calendar of events in a way that it's more shareable. And please consider Contra Costa County as a legitimate area to outreach to and to enhance. My stepmother was in a meeting in San Francisco quite a few years ago, and she was told that because she's from Contra Costa County, she can't be in a poetry reading in San Francisco because it's you don't read poetry in San Francisco.
Time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, Sharon?
You know, maybe you could leave your contact information, and maybe outreach could reach out to you if you don't mind, because that was kind of a good idea about sharing. Okay, no, I don't want to take more time.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we had your information.
Thank you. Our next public comment.
Hi, I'm Stan Woods, former member of the LSB. I have a brief announcement, then a comment. The announcement is on January 1st is the 10th annual Oscar Grant Vigil, commemorating not only the police murder of Oscar Grant, but the many others who occurred since then. It's going to be at the Fruitvale Bar Station from noon to 4. I'm also, among other things, part of the Oscar Grant Committee, and along with the families of Terry Amons Jr., who was killed by the Pittsburgh, California PD a few months ago, and Justice for Peter Perez, we're having a rally and a march. It's marching into the vigil, and we're going to gather at Guadalajara Restaurant, the parking lot of 1001 Fruitvale Avenue, which is near Fruitvale International. That's going to be at 12:30. We're marching to 1. I urge not only everybody to attend, but also It's really interesting. Well, it's a little sad, which segues in my comment. I've heard more coverage from the San Francisco Chronicle and Channel 2, which is now owned by Fox, that I have from KPFA about these annual events. And it's probably going to be a lot bigger this year because, one, the increase in police shootings. There was a woman named Jenny Vasquez killed by the San Jose PD the other day. No mention on KPFA, but Channel 2 gave it 6 minutes. And that gets to the thing. I'm supporting the Rescue Pacifica slate, and we're pushing for something we used to have, a Democratic. No, it's not being streamed? Okay. Well, anyway, we're trying to get one of the program planks. I'm not running, but I'm supporting the slate, is to reestablish a democratically run, selected and run program council. And I'm sorry, but like the coverage of the death, long overdue death of George Herbert Walker Bush, it was really strange. Up front, basically praised him. Ms. Jesris critically praised him. But Amy Goodman did what she's supposed to do. She told the alternative story of what George Bush actually was, including the outrageous invasion of Panama, among other things. Of course, we know about the Gulf War and many other issues. And until we do have a program council, I'll urge some of you here are very close to the general manager, at least try to have fair coverage of the issues that differentiate from the corporate media. And so often it's not the case. And believe me, a lot of listeners, including listeners that have supported the opposite slate, have commented on that to me and other people. George Herbert Walker Bush should have died in prison. There should have been at least some people that reflected that view, whether you agree with it or not. And also, the Julian Assange issue. If he is brought back to the U.S., he will not be charged, by the way, for the DNC leaks. He'll be charged with facilitating Chelsea Manning's leaks of the war crimes in Iraq. Now, I'm sure everybody here, I hope nobody here opposes those leaks. The Democratic Party certainly does. The Republican Party certainly does. But that's why he may spend the rest of his life in prison. So whatever you think about the whole DNC issue, I hope you'll reconsider your positions on Julian Assange. Thank you.
Ramses has arrived online, I will note. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mary Ann Thomas, private citizen. I am going to be representing the CAB in a few minutes. Too close? You don't want me to get loud, huh? Okay. yeah. I have a loud voice. I'm trying. More. Okay. Okay. So, as a public citizen, now that this is turned off, okay, good. As a public citizen, I am really nervous what I see happening at KPFA turning much more NPR-esque than radical-esque, and wanted to voice my fears. I'm still have an angst over the Bonnie Faulkner situation, although I have been, I've been informed of what occurred with management, et cetera. But I just fear that KPFA is getting more and more milquetoasty. I agree with Stan on the, we really need to make KPFA the radical that it was when I first started listening. I really think it was more radical. So I just wanted to voice that so that when I get to the CAB, I can deal with CAB issues and not with my personal issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Stone, also, you know, private citizen and KPFA supporter at large. I also want to, you know, reflect on the last, especially the last couple of people who were talking about the Julian Assange issue. You know, as a member of the Labor Council, I presented a very similar resolution that's also was submitted by someone you might know him. His name is Steve Zeltzer, but the thing is, when I presented it, it got a really I don't know how to pronounce the type of resistance that it got. It was trying to bring up old, you know, issues of him, you know, with the, you know, with the allegations of with the Swedish, the sexual allegations of Swedish women that have been debunked. But still, when they cast the specter of that, they eventually did table it, and much like I know that from the previous failure that you had here, and not to have to, you know, repeat, you know, what everyone else said for the reasons of, you know, free speech and what, you know, perils that, that, Julian Assange's incarceration, you could actually have on, you know, on free speech in general, especially for journalists. I just really hope that, that the next time that you would actually consider, you're passing the Julian Assange resolution, that you just, you know, take into account all of the, all of the consequences that can happen as a result of not, supporting him in principle. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more public comments? Seeing none, we'll move ahead to the general manager's report. I would reinforce the fact that we did pass a motion that I read before the public comments were taken. I don't see that as a failure, and that our position is we support all whistleblowers, and that's what we made clear with our motion. So we'll move ahead to the general manager's report. That was public comments. Thank you. Did you have something that you needed to insert?
I was just going to say on that resolution, the resolution deleted a calling for the defense and freedom of Julian Assange. That was the crux of the resolution that was passed by the Pacifica National Board, which called for the defense and freedom of Julian Assange. That was deleted out of the resolution passed by the KPFA local station board.
Thank you. We're not going to get into a back and forth here. I just clarified. We're going to move on to the GM's report. I think I've made it very clear exactly what we said. We support all whistleblowers and journalists and don't believe any of them should be put in jail. Thank you. I'm going to read the general manager's report since the general manager is not here. Hold on a second while I pull it up. It's very small. I think I can do it. Yes, Tom.
I just wanted to clarify that is going to be sent to the rest of the board members in writing. Is that correct?
That's correct, Tom.
By email.
That's
thank
correct.
You.
I will forward it out to everybody on the board. Okay. This is KPFA GM year-end report 2018 by Quincy McCoy. I'm pleased to report that KPFA had a successful 2018. Just a year ago, our anxiety was high because of Pacifica's critical financial situation, combined with the Empire State Building lien breathing down our necks and the PNB's lack of a strategic plan to create a healthy prognosis for the network's future. Well, we still don't have a strategic plan, but with a new interim executive director and NETA's CFO, hopefully action to move the network in a positive direction will commence in 2019. KPFA managed to hit our budgetary target numbers through our pledge drives, card donations, and an uptick in sustainers and memberships. We also had a successful development year in income from numerous family foundations whose missions or goals lined up with ours. Management. Last year at this time, I announced our public engagement team, which was a melding of our subscription, programming, web development, and major donor outreach units. It created new roles, responsibilities, and goals for management to help accelerate our growth. That shift in our management team's job responsibilities was necessary to take advantage of certain virtues and expertise members of team possessed. This allowed us to better focus on marketing, social media activity, grow membership, reorganize fund drive responsibilities, and improve outreach to major new donors and new donors. My small team has grandiose ambitions, and they work very hard on a very lean budget. Yet, this shift helped provide more room for creativity and in slowing down the burnout rate that comes with these types of difficult jobs. I'm proud to say that it's been successful in creating the results below, and it's the best team I've had the pleasure to collaborate with in my 4 years. What the future holds. To be honest, I'm worried about two things. The first is something I have no control over, and that is the country's economic outlook. If a recession does happen, obviously it will have a detrimental effect on our fundraising abilities. It might mean smaller goals and maybe some cutbacks. Part two of that scenario deals with the evolution of our pledge drives. Books, CDs, DVDs, and documentaries have been the lifeblood of our premiums for years. Yet with technology moving rapidly ahead, the demand for CDs and DVDs has dwindled. Plus, the rights to documentaries are getting impossible to obtain because the Netflix and the Hulus of the world are controlling all the content they can gather. And as you know, Amazon beats all price points on books. In order to battle these trends, we are moving away from these items toward content that we create ourselves, similar to our speaker events and videos. Other ideas include monetizing access to our YouTube channel, featuring the KPFA concert series of musical performances recorded in our studio, and also readings, dramas, and selected material from our archives. But the most important innovation will be in our membership levels. It's imperative that we update our membership levels to help sustain our bottom line. I think it means our bottom line, but more importantly, so our listeners get a distinct idea what their membership offers them. A vital part of the plan is to guarantee donors at a certain level certain benefits, which range from free passes to events, complete access to our archives, or invites to KPFA specials. The brainstorming continues. Development and subscription updates. Holiday drive wrap-up. Although donations are still coming in through the end of the year, we are on track to reach our goal of $450,000 by the end of 2018. So far, we have reached about $410,000, with many more donations by check to record. Our on-air fundraiser took place from Tuesday the 4th through Friday the 14th, and we reached that goal of $355,000 by Tuesday the 18th of the following week. $385 through website and $253 paid as of 12/21/2018. I believe he means in the thousands. I beg your pardon. We didn't have any major operational changes during this drive as we did in the fall. However, with the help of Brian David, there are more improvements for our fund drives and donating process in the near future. We have already made incredible strides with what has been done already. However, this is a very complicated renovation process that was sorely overdue and will continue to take time to fix. Picture a large ball of yarn with many threads and pulling each thread out to untangle the mess. That is the process of updates, renovating, and improving our subscriptions and development department. Volunteers during fund drives continues to be thin. I would estimate a core crowd of about 7 to 10 people come daily or every other day, and another 5 to 10 come once a week. Volunteers are badly needed during the hours of 10 a.m. through 5 p.m. We tend to have plenty from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. However, some mornings have been very slow as well. I encourage all board members, especially those who aren't raising money for KPFA independently, to come into the phone room and participate in the fundraiser by answering calls from donors. Foundation and grant work. This is an area that continues to show promise and is worthwhile to dedicate time and attention. The following is a list of grants that were submitted for, or I spoke directly to a foundation officer. Highfield Foundation, grant received, $2,000 for additional recording equipment for performance space to enhance the use of the space. Cabin Road Foundation, grant received, $90,000 for the next 5 years, $50,000 in support of hiring specialized investigative reporter Lucy Kang, who wrote the proposal, dedicated to creating story-driven content for Upfront and the 6 o'clock news hours, plus $40,000 in support of the implementation of an internship program in the operations department. Edna Wardlaw Charitable Trust, grant received, $20,000 for general operating expenses. There are additional grant and foundation opportunities that we're tracking, and will be applying to the in the following months. KPFA's 70th anniversary. KPFA's 70th anniversary is April 15th. We are moving our spring drive up from May to April in order to take advantage of the excitement around this historic event. We will be having an on-air fundraiser with KPFA-centric programming premiums and a benefit which will take place on Monday, April 15th, where we hope that many of our major donors and supporters will come together for a celebration of KPFA and commit their continued support of the station. Details are still being worked out. 2019 Engineering and Operations Updates. After a review of listener and staff feedback, as well as extensive testing of technical equipment operations and engineering, are excited to unveil the 2019 Master Plan. We've undertaken a joint effort with programming to standardize the program grid and implement technical improvements that bring automation, dependability, and accountability. We'll be purchasing new digital mixing boards and related equipment to upgrade on-air production, news, and KPFB control rooms and studios. This allows the station to accommodate present and future needs of high-quality, resilient audio. We'll be re-engineering the signal flow to incorporate shielded and balanced wiring, automatic failover mechanisms, redundant high-speed fiber internet, redundant web streams, redundant digital studio transmitter links, new lower-cost digital phone service, and up-to-date technical documentation. We're adding a part-time engineer to help meet the technical needs, as well as provide added support to aging equipment. Every computer will have a one-to-one connection with the master control core network, as well as Wi-Fi backup. No more unsightly wiring. The 2018 upgrade of staff computers is complete. We're pairing our technical plan with a department restructuring to bring 40 hours of audio pre- and post-production programming with no added cost to the budget. This move shifts board operations into the new role of technical producer. We'll reduce dead time, dead air, and stress by shifting crisis response time to pre-planning time. Every one of our 103 shows now have a technical producer to ensure the highest quality content for our airwaves. We've automated the delivery of pre-recorded material to our airwaves. We're rebuilding our relationship with music overnight and volunteer programs, as they now have a point of contact through which communication will flow. This reorganization and technical improvement should be completed by the end of quarter one, 2019. Programming update 2018-19, path to 70. KPFA will curate special birthday programming showcasing some of its very best radio productions over the years. KPFA will make exclusive available recordings of other special programs on our YouTube channel. Recent additions to the program grid: East Bay Yesterday, a delightful new series from explorers of culture, politics, and nature from Oakland, Berkeley, and other towns throughout Alameda and Contra Costa counties, produced by Liam O'Donohue and airs every other Wednesday at 1 p.m. Best of KPFA, a collection of some of KPFA's best moments over the years. This short-run series was inspired by our Independence Day programming, which featured an array of programs from Gore Vidal to Jimi Hendrix. The best of series will morph into a new project called Path to 70, where we'll offer more of our KPFA gems as we head toward our 70th birthday. Let's talk music. D. Minor and Thomas J. are two young men who talk music, highlighting artists who have made a contribution to hip-hop, rock, R&B, and old-school music. Their banter is illustrious, and the gems discovered along the way are unforgettable. Let's Talk Music airs each Sunday at 8 p.m. Ooh, They Mad, OTM. OTM is anchored by three Bay Area natives: Chris Riggins, a professional comedian; Paris War, a.k.a. Computer Blue, a sex educator and cultural worker; and DJ Sake One, a professional DJ. The show incorporates analysis of current events and trends, both local and national, using humor and popular culture to deepen and broaden appeal. Motown on Monday was born out of a love of soul music, plain and simple. MOM is arguably one of the largest weekly dance parties in the world, and it is now on KPFA-FM, hosted by DJ Gordo Cabeza. Premieres Sunday, November 4th at 10 p.m. Countdown 2018, a short run series. The importance of the midterm elections called KPFA to focus on the implications of local, state, and national issues and candidates and races. Our own Larry Bensky hosts every Friday at 12 p.m. As a result of the success of Countdown 2018, KPFA has kept Bensky on to develop a new program called Ideas and Ideals that each Friday at noon. It covers the gamut of politics and culture, art and music. Making Contact has moved to alternating Sundays with the KPFA evening news at 6 p.m. Upcoming programs are slated for November 11th and November 18th. Your Call Media Roundup airs every Friday at 3 p.m. It offers distinct analysis and insight on the politics of the day via dialogue and debate. New podcasts to Area 941. California Influx is a terrific new podcast on Area 941 that discusses the implications of climate change across California. You can find the first episode of Climate Silence at our podcast site 941 on the KPFA website, kpfa.org. The Fertile Void is a very interesting creative endeavor featuring producer Carrie Katz. It's a multi-level journey into the soul of being. Fertile Void premieres Friday, November 2nd, and can be found on Area 941 on KPFA website, kpfa.org. Well-Paid Slaves. This is a new and exciting podcast that deals directly with the implication of the modern black athlete working within the hypocrisy of big business machinations and politics. The Town is an uncompromising look into the guts and daily machinations of Oakland politics, hosted by Kitty Kelly Epstein. The Town premieres on Friday, November 2nd, and can be found as part of our podcast home, Area 941 at KPFA's website, kpfa.org. KPFA Specials. She, the People Summit. KPFA FM aired the inaugural She, the People Summit in San Francisco, the first ever national summit of women of color in politics from 36 states. It featured Representative Barbara Lee, Pramila Jayapal, Linda Sarsour, Dolores Huerta, Alicia Garza, among others. Election Day 2018, our Election Day coverage, Tuesday, November 4th, began at 3 p.m. midnight, Flashpoints, with Greg Palast kicked off our coverage, discussing the electoral impact on communities of color. Democracy Now! Follows with extensive national coverage from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m. The KPFA News and Public Affairs team took over at 9 p.m. with coverage of local, regional, and state races and key propositions. Beatles, A through Z and through the years. KPFA Music Series, online. Our newly minted KPFA Music Series with visits from artists like Dove Esquire, Life's Blood Ensemble, and Patel Dad's Works will be posting performances to the KPFA website and YouTube. 100 Letters from My Father. 100 Letters is a radio documentary about correspondences between a father and his son in the era of radical politics during the 1960s and 1970s. It was produced by Nina Serrano and ran Sunday, November 25th at 9 p.m. Bowersfield Playhouse. KPFA will rekindle the spirit of Eric Bowersfeld, the longtime director of KPFA's drama and literature department. He brought high-quality radio productions to KPFA-FM and ushered in three decades of outstanding plays, dramas, readings, and talent to generations of listeners. We intend to do the same with our inaugural Bowersfield Playhouse, collaboration with KPFA and small local theater companies throughout the Bay Areas. Last but not least, if you haven't heard, KPFA was honored by The Nation magazine as the most valuable local radio station. Here's what they posted in their magazine and online. Berkeley's KPFA, the first community-sponsored radio station in the United States, will turn 70 in 2019, and it remains a multicultural treasure that produces some of the finest arts and music programming in the country. At the same time, KPFA has become an essential source for news programming in California and nationally, thanks to podcasts, the internet, and collaborations with Pacifica stations. The station's morning news show, Up Front, is a sharp and smart digest of local, national, and international news that provides a perfect lead-in to Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Happy holidays, Quincy McCoy. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, I think it would be worthwhile for a kind of report to go up on the website about these new shows and that kind of thing. It's strange that there's no kind of place to see what's happening, new shows, that kind of thing. That's the first point. We need to let people know who are supporters of KPFA through the website. The other thing is there's nothing in the presentation about multimedia streaming. There are many struggles coming up, including January 12th. There's going to be a mass teachers rally for public education that we should be streaming live, and we're going to be making some effort to do that. And I think if you want to really increase viewership and support for KPFA and Pacifica, one way would be covering mass rallies, mass actions of working people, which are going to be happening more and more because of the whole struggle in the labor movement against privatization of education. So I think we should that should be part of what the agenda is. And the Pacifica National Board has voted that there be more multimedia, including streaming. And that doesn't seem to be anywhere in his report update.
Thank you. I'll pass that along. Yes.
I just wanted to add a couple of things that I'm aware of. Lisa Detmer and I and some other women are working on International Women's Day coverage. That will be coming up in March. I think there's going to be some exciting programming. Darlene Pagano, who's in the corner over there quietly, is also part of that International Women's Day coverage program. Thanks, darling. March 9th, Saturday, from 6 a.m. to midnight. Thanks. Okay, and I've been really excited that we're bringing in interns from some of the local community colleges, and we will be planning another edition with an update of the program guide. A lot of our focus with outreach right now is through the program guide, so people can see what shows we are doing. And we did 5,000. I think our next run is going to be 10,000. So we're looking for community organizations who want to share the program guide with their members and know about it. And also, we have a part of the birthday celebration is the City of Berkeley is going to do a proclamation in gratitude for KPFA. So that's one thing that some of us have been working on.
Thank you. I would just like to say, and I will call on, I'm not sure which of you were first, but I will call on each of you. Just like to say that I think that it was great to hear all the positive changes that are going on, and I think that we do have a gem in KPFA. That's why we're all here, and increasing more podcasts is something I know my son and his friends' kids are really focused on listening to podcasts, so I think that's a really positive thing. Yes, I think Tom was next. Anthony? Oh, either way. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, one can't ask questions of an emailed report, but I'll ask him anyway. Whatever became of the link, the online link to Guns and Butter, which we were told he would consider? Also, why was discrete music taken off the air? It seems a little odd to have Motown on Monday air on Sunday, and Sunday night is a pretty low listenership time anyway. Lastly, these new programs, it's encouraging that new programming is airing, but my question would be, how did these particular programmers get their shows? Do they all have to be, know somebody? Did they have to be friends of Quincy or friends of Quincy or otherwise connected to insiders? And is there any way that a person with ability and an idea, not knowing anybody, can come in the door and say, I'd like to do this and such, and get a fair hearing and maybe even get a show? I mean, we used to have that process with the program council, and of course the program council's long gone, and I don't know what's taken its place, given the opacity of communication that we heard about from many people, and including the gentleman who spoke first at public comment today. It's kind of discouraging. How are new ideas actually going to get in the door?
I would like to say that there is a programming manager now, and they have my understanding from talking to Quincy last time that they are working on the apprenticeship program to become more robust, which is one of the ways that could generate other shows. I don't believe it's just a question of anybody who's an insider. He's looking for, I see your hand. I believe he's looking for new shows, but I believe that the apprenticeship is definitely one that could be the genesis of that, and it would be how they're performing. I think the next person was Tom. Oh, yeah. And then Carol had already said, and then Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to Anthony's comments to ask the question when we may expect a appearance before this board or a report from our programming director.
I'll pass along your question.
I just wanted to remind people that on the kpfa.org website, there is a section where it invites people to submit a podcast or a program idea. Now, it's my understanding, and I've known people who do it, that if somebody wants a program, they do a pilot. That usually includes a couple shows, and they submit the pilot to the program director. So those are things that it's really good to, you know, look on the website, see there's detailed instructions. I know when we go out to the community college classes, we take them information about how to submit a podcast, how to become an intern in operations, how to become an intern in the news department.
Thank you, Carol. Steve?
Yeah, well, I think what Anthony is raising is important. And just there needs to be a process that people can submit and be proposals, and it can be developed in a decent way. I don't see that happening, frankly. There's a small group of people who make all the decisions. That's not a healthy way of having a process of new programming, in my view. Secondly, I mean, there could be a survey of what people would like to see. The fact of the matter is we're not gaining listenership. Our listenership is not increasing. That's a reality. And they're going to be Nielsen. I think they voted to have Nielsen ratings to find out what the actual listenership is. But KPFA is not gaining a lot of new listeners. One thing we could do is do a survey to the members of KPFA, the membership of KPFA. When there's an election, it could have been sent out in the ballot. What would you like to see? What kind of program would you like to see? That would be a good way of engaging the supporters of KPFA. What do they want to see? And the same with the staff. There's been no organized way to the staff to have any discussion about programming and about new programming or that kind of thing. Things are being brought on without any interchange and interaction with the staff. That is problematic with the staff, the unpaid staff, as to how new programming is brought on. And I think that has to be, investigated, looked at to have a better process.
Bill?
Well, I'm very ill knowledgeable about this discussion. I understand that in past years there was a program council that apparently I've heard there was some trouble with that. People wanted to get rid of it. It was gotten rid of. So I don't know anything about it. And again, from my perspective, when people have ideas that they think are worthwhile or whatever, I want to see a written proposal that gives me the history, that gives me the background, that tells me what they want to do, that's somewhat detailed, you know. And nobody seems to want to do that around here, you know. So they just come to these meetings and propose ideas or gripe about this or that. But I don't see it. you know, and I don't understand it because I haven't been around. All of you people have long histories here. I don't. So, for example, I immediately think, well, who's going to be on this program council? If it's people that I don't like, they're going to maybe pick programs that I don't like. Why is it not a good idea to have a program director and a general manager who know how to present radio and they select the programs? Why is that a bad idea? I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Sharon, did you want to say something? Closing the door?
Yeah.
It is a library. Yes. Thank you. It's that library. Shh. Right. So I hope people have had an opportunity to review the agenda. That would be not the agenda. I beg your pardon. Minutes. So we have. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? I'm stuck on that. Sorry. It's that long reading that it threw me off. Yes, Carol.
I move that we accept the minutes with any necessary corrections.
Thank you. Do I have a second? All those in favor of approving the agenda with any necessary corrections, raise your hand. Yes. What? Pardon me?
No, go ahead. Raise your hand, people.
Everybody who is in favor of approving the minutes with any necessary corrections, raise your hand. All those opposed? Abstentions? Three abstentions. The motion passes.
No,
minutes are approved.
No,
there,
no
were,
objections.
There,
no,
there were no no-nos.
No-nos.
Okay, the next part of our agenda would be for the meeting schedule for 2019, and these are the proposed dates. Yes, Steve?
Yeah, I would vote, make a motion that we postpone this, table this, because we should wait till we have new members and they can make that decision. Well, one, I mean, the upcoming one in January, yeah. But the rest of it, I don't think we should approve it.
Well, we will go over the other dates at the February meeting then, since we should know. January meeting, if we... Okay. We will do that at our February meeting then. All right. January is what everybody wants to do, so we will
table it
for now, but our next meeting will be, if people are amenable, will be January 26th. Okay. All those in favor of tabling but having the 26th of January meeting date? Ten in favor? Opposed? Abstentions?
One.
That's because you weren't going to be here.
I'll vote in favor of that. Okay, 11 yes, one abstention.
Any no's?
I have another issue.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Carol?
So I just want to go over the situation with the North Berkeley Senior Center is no longer available where it is. It is going to be moving to 6th Street, which is farther away from public transportation and farther away from the station and in a smaller location. So there is also possibility of the South Berkeley Senior Center. And so I have been working on that. That often has been not the job of the secretary. So if somebody wants to take on finding and helping with arranging for meeting place, please let me know. Otherwise, I think we probably are going to go towards South Berkeley Senior Center for just down the street on Martin Luther King near Ashby and Ellis. Thank you.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, well, we've had offers before The SEIU has made an offer for their hall to be available. There are other areas besides Berkeley to have LSB meetings at. San Jose, the North Bay, where we have listeners, and I think it's important to move it around so our audience have a chance to go to a local station board meeting instead of it always being in Berkeley.
Tom?
Yeah, yes. Do we have a proposed list of meeting dates for 2019 that we could use to put in front of potential places to meet?
So I'm recording the meeting.
But I mean, you have all the mics
that go through here. Yeah, that's to Zoom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say, Anthony, don't worry about it.
Thank you.
And we're doing the best we can.
Thank you,
okay.
Carol. Well, go ahead, Marianne.
Well, then you'll have to tell me how to do it.
Okay, so I've given you the first 11 pages of the report, which is a summary. It's a total of 60-some pages with the raw data. So we include in the report all of the answers to each of the questions. And we only got 179 responses. Last year we got 230-something. We're not sure exactly why it was so low. We got started a little late. We did not hear the CART on the radio hardly at all. I mean, maybe once or twice. So we need to push really hard next year to get the station to actually read our CART so that we can get people to take the survey. Now, we also went out to events and handed out little quarter sheets asking people to take the survey. And what happened with that is we may have gotten a bias into the survey. As you can see on page 6, the most popular show listed in the survey was Flashpoints, and the second most popular was Guns and Butter. And the reason that Guns and Butter was so high was we were passing out a request at the 9/11 Truth Event at the Grand Lake Theater, which had a very large group of people who supported Guns and Butter. They supported Guns and Butter, so there was a concerted effort to get people to take the survey, not on our part, but on some of the people who supported Guns and Butter. So we do realize that there is some bias in the results, and so please understand what the bias is. It doesn't make the results useless. It just means you have to read the results with an understanding of how the survey was taken. And next year, we will definitely make an effort to go to more diverse number of events to try and get people to answer the survey. As you read this over, and Steve in particular, if there's any additional question or if a rewording would be appropriate, please let us know. And if there's any other way to do outreach to get survey results, we certainly appreciate it. How do you listen? Question number one, how do you listen, is basically to find out how many listen on the radio and how many listen other ways that might be interesting the people with the technical expertise. Question number two, what do you listen to? Question number three, what suggestions do you have about KPFA's public affairs and news programs? And the thing about it is, we will get you the detailed results, and there are some very specific answers. So if that interests you, please look at the detailed answers. Question number four, what suggestions do you have about KPFA's cultural and music programs? Again, the detailed results. There were 115 who answered the question. Here's Rich Winston.
Yeah, I do want to make a point of another event that we actually handed out quite good flyers with. And please correct me if you're wrong, but I think it was Chris Hedges' event where we handed out several hundred flyers. That was prior to the deadline. I recall Marianne, myself, and there were probably others handing out flyers at the Chris Hedges' event as well. That was pretty good. You weren't there? Okay, well, I'll second. But we were handing out the event flyers. So there were, back to your point, yes, there probably wasn't enough, but I think that was noteworthy to actually point out that one, because that was it. I remember handing out.
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to point out, and Carol has been very supportive of this, but we are down to three members, which is if we were getting funds from wherever it is, we would need to have WorkCap members or more. And so, although we are currently not getting the money because of us, we certainly don't want to be a reason for not getting the money. CAB is supposed to exist, so we definitely need more CAB members. If any of you know anyone who wants to volunteer, we meet once a month at the Grassroots House, the fourth Saturday of the month. So, we definitely need additional people on the cast. One of our members is running for the Dallas race. Yes. Wait, your question?
Just curious, because I saw that your numbers are down slightly. Your number of participants are down from previous year.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, when do you start doing the survey? Like, we could, for example, I was just thinking at the craft fair, I'm just wondering when you start doing your next survey for next year.
We do it we started in June. By the bylaws, it's due to be presented October. So you'll note the date on it is October. And we would have presented it in October had there been a meeting to present it to after we finished.
Could you start earlier? Would that make sense? Or is that just too difficult to do?
Oh, we do need to start a little earlier. We also need to get KPFA to fund the Survey Monkey. It's about $35 a month, and I pay for it, but I'm not going to be able to do that next year. So we need KPFA to pay for the survey. We did get your approval for the budget, supporting our purchasing Survey Monkey so that we could do this.
Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to Maria, and she said that she would that's something that she would definitely take into consideration for in terms of future funding. So, unless the circumstances change, we sort of made up a handshake type of thing. She said that she would. That she would help facilitate further funding of future Survey Monkeys.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, I want to thank you again, Mr. Steve, also for the report. The report that we have surveyed to find out what our listeners and supporters are doing. And I think that one thing there could be is an ongoing survey. On the air, asking people to contact your attorney if they'd like to make a report or if the survey could be available to listeners, on the website. If you'd like to have comments or what you would like to say, then this could be on the website and then people can just put in the comments they want or what they would like to see. That's a possibility. I know that might require some work, with the website, but that's a possibility. The other thing that is very important is that there in very important events like the climate march, where there were 30,000 people, and we actually had live streaming there. That's a great place to, you know, after when we do the live streams, hand out surveys and say, if you like what we're doing, please respond to the survey. What would you like to see? As I said earlier, there's going to be a mass public education rally on January 12th at Oscar Grant Plaza, another good place. We're trying to set up a live stream from that rally. We interview teachers, students, parents. Another great place to get new people who maybe aren't familiar with KPFA, kind of engage them and talk about what we're doing. No other station is like actually appealing to the listeners in this way.
I appreciate you saying about the climate march. I was at the climate march and I gave out hundreds in the march itself, but I should have gone to the KPFA table and dropped them off, some off. That's a very good suggestion. And you had a table at the craft fair. There was a table that Carol monitored, and there was also a KPFA broadcasting table, which I never saw broadcasting when I was at the craft fair, but definitely the survey would be done during that. The survey needs to have a beginning and an end. I mean, and then you focus, trying to get, and since we have a October deadline, we have a September end date of the survey. So we can start it a little bit earlier and certainly need to work more on our outreach, and certainly we will come to the LSB and ask you guys to help us too wherever you can. We'll give you the little quarter sheet flyers that we hand out. We're also going to try and get a link on the front page of the website, which we did not get this year, and we will definitely work on getting a direct link from the front that we could on our cart say, please go to this link on the very first page of the website. It got buried somewhere deep in our CAB website.
Yeah, and I think it's really, you know, important to do that because you in fact did for the 2017 survey if I remember correctly, for about a month actually did have a link to it. And if I remember correctly, we probably handed out flyers about as many events in 2017 as 18, but we got almost, I would say double the response, but probably at least 50% more respondents. And a lot of them did come in within that time frame that you provided the link, whether it was like 4 weeks or a month, whatever it was, but it was crucial.
Rob, I had a gift. Okay. I know you guys have less people this year and it's been challenging. One of the things I liked last year was that they had the stats.pacifica.org picture there, and that's a great resource, I believe, that we is underutilized because we can look at that and see how many listeners are clicking on to the Pacifica websites to track, on each radio station's website to track how many people are accessing it through the internet. So even though it doesn't tell us how many people are listening on the radio, we can see how many are looking online, and that gives us some indication of listener activity. So I think doing it's really hard to kind of figure it out because it just has the times and you have to track the facts of what shows are on at what times. But I think it's a really important resource for us.
We actually had that in last year's because the person who put it together knew how to capture it, and I tried to capture that for this report and was made in caption. But it is out there, who's logging in when on the internet, and I agree it's a useful thing, and we will definitely try and include it next year, even if we have to look in the previous cabinet or who knows how to do that. really take a look at the questions and see if you think they could be worded better to get the response, you know, more details or something. We certainly would appreciate some input on questions. In all likelihood, we'll have a very similar set of questions for next year. Also, I really hope we can get it out to you next week, but I have here the detailed responses. I printed out one copy. It is 60-some pages long, but if somebody wants to review it take a look at it, I do have it with me, the actual detailed responses, and you will get a copy of that. And we do post a copy of it on the website, on the KPFA website. It gets published under the tab. And does anybody think we should have a card? Maybe suggesting people go look at it?
Or right.
Seeing it? Yes. So we can put together a card once we get it posted onto the website that says, here's the survey, here's the results, you can look at the survey, and then please next year when we put it up and fill it in.
Okay.
So are there any additional questions? I didn't cover quite all the questions, but we asked a question about the local station board having 24 members and the Pacifica having 22, should there be more or lesser saying, and we had a link to the bylaws just so people, you know, if they were going to answer that question, could have an understanding of what they were answering. There was, you know, not that many people responded because not that many people are really aware of the problems with the station board, etc. But yeah, so please do. And the other thing is that we have it's on here. It lists what state and city and country you're from, and we are reaching out further and further, which is great. We do have some people responding from out of the country. You know, so outreach is a little hard to get them to actually answer the survey, except for the card. But we will definitely really work on that next year.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Seeing none, thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you for everything.
I would ask, we have several other items to cover. Do people want to take a health break or a break before we go forward? What's the list? Anybody wants to, you want to continue on for now or
continue?
Just checking. Want to continue? Okay.
Wow.
Okay. We're moving right along. So we're under all business.
No, we're not. Treasurer's report. And then there's PNB.
Yes.
Treasurer's report.
And then there's
PNB. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I handed out the I handed it out previously. You guys all have copies. Maria just sent this to me. I think you don't have everybody all this. You guys have it in your email. And basically, Maria said it's all very, very preliminary.
That's right.
But if you go over it and just say it for people listening. Okay, these are preliminary numbers. Fiscal year 2018, the budget, the total revenue compared to the actual revenue that was received, there's a negative balance of $223,000. So that's on the revenue in terms of what was budgeted versus what was actually received. And looking at this, I just kind of was looking at it before. It was interesting that the donations of, okay, the major donor income went up. That's donations of more than $1,000 per year. which the donations of less than $1,000 per year went down. So I'm really not sure entirely what that means, but just stating what the numbers show. Also, the car donations were down. So people want to donate their cars, that definitely helps our budget. And when those numbers goes down, which is why the numbers were, the actual to date was less than what was projected. Now, I actually want to say a couple things on that. First of all, Maria also did tell me that we have 260, we, KPFA has $260,000 in the bank with all bills paid. So that's good. So we, you know, these numbers kind of, you know, it, like what Maria said, the point in time we just analyze, but the fact is we have all our bills paid and we have cash in the bank, maybe not extra, but we have cash in the bank right now. Now, in terms of expenses, just going down, the budget in was like a little more than $3 million, and it came in a little bit less than $3 million, so we did spend less also than was budgeted. And that makes, okay, we did pay all our central services, which I just have to say, all on the record, not every radio station does. We paid all our central services payments, and we paid the, which is the National Office and the Pacific Radio Archives, 100% up to date on that. Leaving us, when you take in all of the incomes and expenses, with a total net loss, for the year on the budget of $158,000. So I don't have a lot of extra information except to say I know that the money is still coming in on the last fund drive, so that will still be coming in. And I just want to repeat again, these are preliminary numbers. Maria did send me an email saying that the CFO, which is NETA, doing stuff slowly, but that things are getting done. And well, that's really all of my treasurer's report. I want to say one thing, which was I was at the craft fair this year, and it was amazing the number of people that were there. Yeah, really fantastic. So, of course, we get $30,000 at the door for the craft fair. You can see that budgeted. And I was looking at why it says $25,000 as actual, probably because money comes in and more will come in January on that one also. So that I believe we get the whole $30,000, it's just the way it comes in. So it was really great to be there, and there was so much positivity for us to get that. And that's the treasure of people.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate that. And we have a question for us.
Yes.
Sharon, thanks for taking care of this. So I recall that last year we also had a preliminary running loss before the winter fund draft was taken into account, which eventually ended up showing a profit on the books. The revenue number is disturbingly low in that I'm not seeing anything on record that matches it. The lowest previous number was fiscal year 2013, so I'm hopeful that the winter drive will produce extra revenue with the lack of that figure, but it isn't an especially uplifting number to look at. I was a little bit puzzled by Quincy's comment about this being a successful year, in that comment didn't reflect this fact. So I hope that the number comes up like it did last year. There was an extra, it must have been $200,000 or $300,000 that was still hanging out there. So we'll hope as the numbers continue to trickle in that we'll see that, and that it'll reverse the negative and make it a positive, and also lift that revenue number above the basement floors. So I guess I don't really have any questions, just those ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sharon, what's the fiscal year? When does the fiscal year end?
September 30th.
So these numbers then represent income through September 30th?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. You're right. I was talking as if it was December 31st. You're 100% correct on that.
Okay. Another question I have is, where in the expenses, if you know, is the cost for this company that's doing the CFO work? Where's that involved in the expenses?
I don't believe it's an expense that KPFA is paying. It's something that through the national office or central services payment, then it goes to the foundation.
I see. Yeah, okay, thanks.
Steve?
Yeah, on the crafts fair, for a year of 15, it's $137,887. And then it's down to unaudited $25,000. What's going on with that? I mean, why is it such a big drop in income from the crafts fair? Do we take a percentage of what's being sold there in addition to the door?
It's my understanding.
Well, I was going to just say, the way it works is they changed the way it works. So we used to get a percentage of what was being sold there, but now we just get the door and it's a flat fee. No, is it the door or is it a flat fee? I don't even know.
The craft fair is now the Greenway craft fair.
It's not the KPFA.
It's not a KPFA craft fair, and there's been a change. Jan has retired, Jan Petrie, and so she no longer is employed by KPFA or the craft fair. Another woman is taking it over. So KPFA does promotion for the craft fair, and KPFA gets the door. We have craft fair, but not the booths. And the reason is that after they moved to the Craneway, the cost of the Craneway was such that it was not making money. And because of that, it was decided to just keep it simple and do the door. And so that's $25,000 that we have. And it's my understanding that it is pretty much the $25,000 that we got. Plus, I know there was some other monies that were made as donations, but they show up at different places. I know donations are made.
Thank you, Carol Travis.
The revenue changed not only because of what we get, but we also don't have the subtraction in the revenue column of the cost that we used to bear with the staffing that we had to do in order to do the crafts fair. And the people who did the crafts fair and were employed by us to do that have stopped doing it. It was too much work and it was overloading them and the way in which the money was coming given the costs. So we gave up because we didn't have the personnel and we couldn't do it anymore. So even though the revenue previously was very high, the costs that we had associated with doing it are not deducted in the revenue column.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for your report, Sharon.
Yes, I guess the last thing I'll say is I did hear there was record attendance on Sunday, Saturday, so that's good for us if we get the door.
That's great. Thank you. So we're moving along to reports from the National Board of Directors.
I don't have access to me. So
okay.
For the email.
To my email.
Here, I'll
Carol's asking you to do a report. I'll ask, also ask if Sabrina wants to add something else.
Tom. I'll start. How's that, guys? Tom, is that good with you?
Sure.
Okay. All right. This, by the way, is my last LSB meeting. When I came on the board, I didn't know very much about the issues on the board, nor was I aware about what was going on the Pacifica National Board until actually this LSB did retreats. And those retreats were very helpful to me. And I just want to suggest, as I'm dancing out of here, that if you get a lot of new people on the board, that you do a couple of workshop retreats so that people understand the complexities and the issues that people are faced with on the various boards. Although there's continuing contentious toxic factionalism on the current PNB, many core issues have begun to be developed, addressed for the first time, although certainly not all of them. But getting the messy and unknown information about the financial health or unhealth of the entire station has begun. And there was the hiring of a permanent executive director. There's a hiring of a interim CFO. And then there's also contracting with the financial services company, although there's a lot of discussion about how much they will do and how widespread, and I can't have conversations about contractual matters that are coming, that are in front of us. But let me just say this, which is public information. When Sam Agarwal was in the national office as the CFO last winter and spring, the approximate monthly costs of that office, because there were altogether five people working there at that time, was about $35,000 a month. And they were not able to handle what was required to get things done, not just because of their staffing, but also because their inability to access other stations and so on, which is now being addressed by attempting to get a contract and getting clarity about what we agree that a national group that's looking at our finances and trying to finally, for the first time, look at what the finances are writ large. I mean, what we have is an organization which is legally and financially one organization, KPFA, Pacifica, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, PRA, and the National Office. Seven different spending centers with seven different budgets with no accountability between them is one legal organization. So there's absolutely zero financial accountability in the structure that we have, given that's reflected in our bylaws. And so there has been, it is progress to attempt to really get the arms around how much money do we have. At this point, no one ever knows how much money Pacifica has, because the books and so on across the different stations are not accessible, are not kept the same way, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a foundational moving forward, and it is something which is required if we were to seriously get grants or big donor stuff, because the auditors that we have had searing criticisms of the way in which we function financially. So that's not the same thing as entirely having a plan to deal with how are we going to pay off a loan that all of Pacifica's properties are mortgaged to, but it is certainly a piece of doing that, because unless we are being serious about doing that. We're also have been straightening out pension issues, which have been problematic, and So there's a lot of core foundational work being done in spite of the continuing problems. And another piece of that that's being happening is there's being discussion about our structure. I just gave you a little glimpse of one of the problems of our structure, that is that we are one legal structure, but we're seven different structures. So to have a discussion of the bylaws and the structure is very important too. And that's after we finish with this, that's our next topic. And I'll give you a quickie report at that point too. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Do any of you, Tom, have anything to add to that or disagreement? Tom?
Yeah. Is this?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say that it remains to be resolved how deeply NIDA is going to take on our financial situation, and at one point it was agreed to that they were going to go into all five stations and assist the stations preparing adequate financial information. And as far as I'm aware, that has not been completely resolved. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. I just had one small addition to what Carol said, and that's that in addition, the information gathering process from all the individual units is problematic in another way, and it'll always be this way. I want to just caution everybody going forward. In that there's always a lag time associated with that. The fiscal year ends, there's accrual expenses, and then the accountants come in and they reconcile everything. And it never happens in a way that is as punctual as everybody would like. So having an immediate, knowing how much money is in the bank on September 30th is never going to happen. But knowing how much money is in the bank on September 30th in October or November should happen. I mean, that should be something that we wouldn't know. So it's always going to be looking back and seeing where we're at. But the trick is having that happen at 45 days rather than 450 days, which is kind of where we're at right now. So shortening that gap to give us a better vision of how we were recently is kind of the objective here, and I see a lot of progress in that regard. I see I'm hopeful that we will be much further along in that narrowing of the gap next year than we are today. So thanks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, Tom, I know you're on the National Program Committee, and I had a couple of questions about that. At one point, we talked about when I was on the programming committee, news and having more national news sharing and possibly even programming. And I wondered if that is being taken up by the programming committee of the PMB. And the other question I have is sort of related. It's my understanding that there are major changes going on with programming in New York. Talk a little bit about how you see that.
What was the first question?
National news program sharing, if Pacifica is going to be looking at them.
Yes, it's an ongoing discussion with the programming committee. We've been attempting to have a meeting almost every month every week, for the last couple of months, and we've had problems with conflicting meeting schedules with the PMB and also other committees, and we really need some kind of a sign-up log so that we don't have these kind of problems in the future. Just this last week, several members of the programming committee, there was a conflict with a PNB meeting that was scheduled as a special meeting, and the PNB special meeting had trouble making quorum, but it actually didn't, because some of the folks were over the programming committee, and that seems like it's a continuing problem that needs to be resolved. I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Program changes.
Yeah, that seems to be a fairly fluid issue at this point, which I don't think has been resolved. I know our executive director, Maxine Jackson, had a meeting there last week with their LSP, and I have not seen a report from that meeting at this point. But it's an issue that the ED is aware of and very aware of within the LSB in New York. And my isolated impression at this point is that they're trying to resolve what those difficulties are.
Thank you, Tom. Steve?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some serious omissions here in the reports that we have today. Pacifica Board of Representatives. First of all, there's been this dispute about the election. The original election supervisor was removed. A new election supervisor was brought in. It's not going to be important. Let me finish what I'm going to say. So there's a crisis, there's a situation with the election, and it should be reported on one way or the other what's happened. It hasn't been reported on by this board. I would suggest that our representatives on the Pacifica National Board take notes of what they're doing at their meetings, whether it's programming or PMB, and just have a report. It doesn't have to be confidential. This is what we voted on. This is what we're talking about. That kind of thing. So we have an idea of what is going on. I mean, I was listening to the programming committee last night and found out that, there are a lot of things going on in New York. For example, programs were canceled there by email. That's how they canceled the programs. They didn't consult the programs. They just sent them emails. The executive director, where is he? I would think that if we're paying for him to travel around the country and visit the different stations, he should come and visit the staff, paid and unpaid, in the different stations. This is my purpose here, who I am. This is my vision. This is what I'd like to do. That's not happening. I have a problem with that. I think our representatives on the PMB need to make it clear that the executive director, if he comes to the Bay Area again, should let people know that he's going to be there so there can be an exchange about what's going on. Also, the strategy committee, what are they discussing? What are the issues in the strategy committee? There's a whole new committee set up. Or plan to get out of the financial crisis. We should have a report on what proposals have been made. I've made a number of proposals about multimedia, but what's being discussed in this battle?
Thank you. That time is up. And I would ask Sabrina and Carol and then Tom to respond. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Well, as far as the previous national election supervisor, that's old news that was done in September, October. He resigned. He was not removed. He resigned. We hired the who's now a national election supervisor. As far as any kind of upkeep or someone tells me what we're doing on the committees, those meetings are strained. You're more than welcome to do it.
The election is fraught with problems. The entire operation of Pacifica is fraught with problems. We have a 45-page bylaw that, like I said before,
has us legally one entity and has us operationally seven entities, has all kinds of little technical requirements and tremendous factional hostility nationally and in some boards, a kind of hostility that had previously existed in this station, but is less charged these days. But the election has been, and also the PNB has nothing to do with elections, just like the LSB has no rights to do anything with the elections. By the bylaws, the elections are run by a national election supervisor and the executive director. And that is because it's a conflict of interest, because this board delegates are elected through that process, and that has an impact also on the PNB, who is elected and who is eligible to be on the PNB. So it is not our business to do anything about the elections. The elections at this moment in time, there's a lot of questions floating around that are being asked of the National Election Supervisor. You can join in and asking her if you want by emailing her at nes@pacifica.org. But she's required to answer those questions, not us. And we don't know what the answers are, because she's the decider and the arbiter of all of that. So that's one thing. The second thing is us taking notes and so on. We often meet two meetings a week for 5 hours, and for you to make demands on us to do things when there's streaming and minutes is, we already have enough demand. Thank you very much. And, you know, we're not required to take notes and give you stuff. There's secretaries who are required to take notes, and the minutes are available to everybody. So in terms of that, we're struggling with tremendous problems that have to do with this gigantic gigantic structure that has many different parts to it that do not communicate with each other well, and has built into the structure a factionalism through single transferable voting, and also through having representatives on the national body from five different stations who have different interests and are supposed to be there not as representatives of stations, but as representatives for Pacifica, for the central organization. And so we're not supposed to go representing what goes on here or what people think here, but what our estimate of what's required for Pacifica to function as Pacifica. That's our fiduciary duty. And we're, you know, the strategic planning committee is not just about finances. It's about strategy and strategic vision. And we've been having some conversations and some canceled. Some of us get burned out and can't have another meeting. Not another meeting, please. And but we've been talking about what is our vision. We've been trying to survey the entire board about how people see what Pacifica ought to be, the content of it, the radical nature of it, some of the stations mostly play music, and some of the stations most of the stations don't financially support themselves. So it's a mess, and dealing with the mess is a big job, and a lot of people work very hard every single week with hours and 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 hours of difficult work
figuring things out, reading documents, and then listening to abusive, ridiculous meetings.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for everything.
Tom was next. Yes. Tom was next.
My understanding is our new executive director has been meeting with all five station managers and program directors on a weekly basis. So far, we've had no reports that I'm aware of what progress or what has transpired in those meetings. And I would really like to see some reports on that, and so that each LSB can be aware of what is progress in those meetings.
I think, do you have the executive director's email address? I think that would be a pertinent question to address him. Carol, did you want to say something too?
I have asked that question of the executive director, and so far I have not gotten a response.
I'd like to say something. Walking into Pacifica, he's been on the payroll since October 1st, which means he's been on 30, 60, 90 days. And in that time, there's election issues, pension issues, finance issues, programming issues, blowups of at least one station that is totally blowing up internally. And so I think that he's still getting his bearings.
It's a lot.
And he's gone to two or three meetings and sometimes four meetings a week in the evenings, and he gets emails from vendors, from 22 board members, from members at large, from staff people, from, you know, so anybody doing this job is no good deed goes unpunished.
Steve.
Yeah. I no doubt it's a strenuous job trying to keep Pacifica together, no question about it. And it's always been a crisis situation, Pacifica. This is nothing new, but I would say there has been improvement and reduction of costs as a result of changes that have made. There's been improvement, which we all have to admit to. And so there's some good things that have gone on as far as the situation in Pacifica, but I still have problems. For example, this election, because it was pushed through without really, in my view, the ramifications, we're now in a situation where we're going to be violating our bylaws. For example, the bylaws require an election for new officers of our local station board this month, December. Now, that's in the bylaws. I don't think the Pacifica National Board has the right to abridge the bylaws, to change the bylaws. That's part of our bylaws. So, you know, that I think that's why my position is we should have an election of new officers, and then with new candidates, or when we have the election, we have another election. But the fact of the matter is we have bylaws. The other thing is that, one of the issues that I brought up previously is this lawsuit, the cost of the lawsuits. We're spent, I understand, $40,000 to $50,000 in the cost of this Campisi lawsuit. I consider that a real financial harm to Pacifica when we are in a financial crisis. And frankly, I would appeal to, fellow board member Campisi to withdraw his lawsuit. So we don't have to continue spending this kind of money, tens of thousands of dollars, on a lawsuit, which I consider a waste of money and improper use of Pacifica funds.
The lawsuit, the Campisi lawsuit, is about enforcing bylaws, and it's about the bylaws that were ignored that took away the rights of the membership of KPFA.
So it was a lawsuit that was filed to argue that the bylaws were violated and the democracy of the KPFA membership was violated. So you may, on the one hand, say that we're, you know, you're all about the bylaws, and in the next minute say you want to stop something that's all about our membership's democracy and bylaws. It's a little bit of a conflict. But beyond that, there is no way in which the Pacifica can follow its bylaws in terms of this election. We were required to have an election in 2018. And if we canceled it, we wouldn't have it. If we had it, it got delayed and delayed. So now it's moving over into 2019. Our legal advice has been that what is California law has, you've got to go for the election. You've got to do the best you can. And we have bylaws that are impossible to follow. So we're doing the best we can.
Thank you, Carol. Yes, Sharon was next.
Personal privilege.
I wasn't.
I know, but yeah. Campisi.
Sharon was next.
Point of personal privilege.
I would just like to say
that I want to repeat what Carol Travis was just saying, which there are so many violations of the bylaws on an ongoing basis. So, you know, and the remedy is to file a lawsuit. If you do not like what's happening, you would have the option to file a lawsuit to enforce the bylaws, which is what Mr. Campisi did also. I would like to suggest that we move on to announcements. I believe we have done enough. I don't think there's any additional information coming out from the national. I think we finished reports on the national boards of directors, so I would just like to move on, please.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on,
just very briefly, the lawsuit didn't have to happen had the board come to this board, to the delegate, to the LSB, and tried to work out a solution. Instead of trying to work out a solution with our LSB, certain people on the PNB charged ahead and passed a motion invalidating what we did. They didn't have to do that. That was their choice. And along the way, I've been asked to make settlement proposals. I've made them. I have never heard back from the PNB about my settlement offers. I've made them. They don't respond. And so, Pacifica is due to file a response in the Court of Appeal on January 2nd. I'm due to file a reply on January 26th, and then the Court of Appeal is going to do its thing. So as far as expenses go, that's it. That's pretty much over. The expenses are already there. But on that note, if this election doesn't go forward, I'm going to file another lawsuit about that. Just so you know.
Okay, I'm going to suggest that we move on, and I believe that if the election does go forward, it will take care of satisfy the request of the lawsuit. So it will be a moot point at that particular point in time. So let's move on. We're actually on old business now.
No, we're not. We're on bylaws.
Yeah. It's under old business.
No.
Let's
just do it. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's listed under that. Okay. That's the first order of old business. Okay.
It's declared.
All right, I'm just going to give a very brief, I passed around something about bylaws, and I want to, the discussions that we had just a minute ago.
Okay,
the discussions that we had a minute ago about the complexity and the problems with the structure of Pacifica, and the fact that for the first time in a while, or maybe, I don't know, anyway, for the first time maybe since 2002, when there was a major revision of bylaws, there's a serious discussion in beginning on bylaw changes. So right now, there are 10 bylaw proposals that are up for discussion and voting. Not today, and also I suspect that none of them will be passed, by the way, just for your information. And but that it's the beginning of a discussion, and having this discussion about them
is healthy anyway, because it begins to have people understand the problems. At the bottom of the page that I passed out, it says the looming additional topics, and it also has the amendment timelines and processes. The bylaw changes are governed by Article 17 of the bylaws, and it requires that twice a year that there are scheduled times for amending the bylaws. We didn't get around to it until, I don't know, November to schedule our two times, but we did get them scheduled by sheer persistence. So one of the first timeline was December 7th, and this is when these 10 bylaws were submitted. And personally, I signed a couple of them that I really don't care for, but I wanted to get them all in discussion, so I was in favor of discussion. The next, there's another bylaw timeline that's already been passed. So on January 25th, there will be another opportunity for bylaw changes to be submitted. And the way in which you can get bylaws proposed is either you have to have 6 directors, PMB directors, sign on to them, or the majority of two LSBs propose them, or 1% of the total Pacifica membership by petition. Okay, so here are there are 10 bylaws, and I'm grouping them. I don't put them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I group them by subject matter. So the first one is simply to remove the right of an LSB to do a waiver and grant somebody an individual membership who can't give 3 hours and can't give $25 and can't do anything but wants to be a member. Nobody ever does this. This is an absurd thing, so it's just removing a proposal, you know. The second bylaw is a grammatical change. It is not of substance. You can look at it. All of these are posted at Pacifica.org, so you can read them. There's 23 pages. I boiled it down to one. Okay. The next, Article 3 and Article 6 are both about the eligibility of nomination. And one of them says that even if you are on an advisory currently, this has been in the lawsuit. There have been about 3 or 4 lawsuits over this particular law, bylaw, that currently if you are in a public office, you cannot be on an LSB. You cannot be a delegate. And what has been ruled by the courts is that is an office that has the right to do policy, so that only if you have some legislative authority and legal authority in that office are you barred from as a result of how our bylaws are looked at. This attempts to change that and to say that even if you're only advisory, you can't be on the PMB. I adamantly oppose that because I think if somebody, for example, is on a homeless council, if it's an advisory, we would want them on the PMB. That's absurd. Anyway, but this is one that's trying to exclude people even if they're just in advisory capacity, and also is removing number 3 has a second part to it, which says that you don't even need 15 signatures for nomination. Just if anybody nominates you, you can run for delegate. And the argument for that was that 15 signatures should be easy, and it costs money then for us as part of the election to verify membership, blah, blah, blah. The next two that I grouped together are the LSB size and replacement language. And there's 2 different proposals. One is that the LSB reduce from 24 to 16, and that 12 listener reps and 4 staff reps. Currently it's 18 and 6, half elected each time the same way that things are now. That is, there's a 3-year cycle, but 2 years is when the election is, and that is contained here. And that interim vacancies in number 4 are filled by the delegates appointing replacement delegates with people who have financial skills until the next election, rather than having people come off the lost delegate elected list. And the fifth of this, number 5, which is a partner of this, has the board only fills vacancies if it drops below 3/4 of the numbers of delegates elected. The next group, which is 8, 9, and 10, addresses the size of the Pacifica National Board, and 2 of the proposals make the term on the board from 1 year to 2 years. Currently, the Pacifica National Board is replaced every single year. And a learning curve takes up a lot of the year. But the 8 says change the size, maximum 14 people. There's now 20. There's a maximum 23 now, although operationally it's mostly 22. And to add the ED to the board, an elected, okay. And those elections be elected irrespective of class. In other words, at the LSP, you don't elect listener and staff people separately. You just elect your PNB director. 9 reduces the maximum size from 23 to 19. 3 directors, and it still breaks out 2 listener, 1 staff at the ED. 10 reduces the size of the national board and changes the national committee composition. Reduces the size of the board to a total of 12. That's 2 from each board and 2 affiliate directors. And it says that the national committees are not, I don't know what it is. Anyway, you can go look if you care. Number 11 is, says that the affiliate directors shouldn't be elected by the PNB directors, but by the affiliates themselves. And number 7 enshrines the principle that board sets policy and management influence policy, addressing the habit of the PNB to micromanage the board. The looming topics, just for your, is PNB directors by membership size, limit the power of the PNB financially failing station. Boards have more at-large members with form requirements that address parochialism, an end to STV voting, eliminate elections entirely, eliminate LSBs, self-producing PNB boards, membership more of pride and discounts rather than elections.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
Thank you.
Yes, I
mean. So I see it says deadline of January 25th, so there's time to add to this batch of 11.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
So I have a quick question. Is you said, I mean, Hoffman said during the trial in Chicago,
which I was at.
Which you were at. Which, what he said was like when they said it's a conspiracy, he said we can't even agree on lunch. Conspiracy. So, yeah. So, you said that none of these are likely to pass, these aren't likely to pass generally. Is there any one of them that is likely to pass?
I'm Bill Talk, well, I think.
Okay.
Well, did you
want to
answer
this? No, I want to ask.
Okay.
What I want to know is, what are we supposed to do today, if anything?
Nothing.
Okay. So, are we supposed to do something in the future?
Yes.
Okay. What is that?
Vote on them.
When?
In January.
Yeah, I can add to that question.
Okay.
So,
What's the process for making these changes?
Okay. Okay. I think the process is that the PNB has to pass them. I think they might pass one and two, and maybe one of the that might be it. I don't know. But so the PNB has to pass, and then I think three LSBs have to pass.
Yes.
And now, if the PNB does not pass it, if it has been submitted with 1% of the membership petitioning, then it will, and it has to do with, and oh, by the way, if any change has implications about the rights of delegates and the rights of membership, it then has to be passed by the members also, in addition to the PNB and three LSBs. And if it's presented through the petition, 1% of members, then it still has to go to the membership vote, but it doesn't matter if the PNBs or the LSBs fail to pass them. By being a membership petition, they must be considered there, but they will, the ultimate decider is the membership.
Okay. We'll refine on that, Carol.
So 1% of the membership is about 500 signatures. So if 500 people propose a bylaw amendment, if the PNB adopts it and three delegates adopt it, and it doesn't affect the rights of the members, it's an adopted bylaw without going to a vote of the membership.
Say that again.
If the bylaw is proposed through a membership petition,
yeah,
and the bylaw does not affect the substantive rights of the members, if the PNB adopts the bylaws and three LSB adopts that bylaw, it passes without going to a
right.
board of membership.
Correct.
But if the PNB won't approve it, then the PNB is obligated to put the bylaw before the entire membership for a vote.
Correct. Correct. In other words, it's almost impossible.
What, you're only paying 10%?
And the other thing I shouldn't say into the mic, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's why it's not even possible to, you know, change the patterns.
Yeah.
So we passed a motion to support the amendment that we had to change the structure based on membership. Now that will, I took it to the PNB and they, you know, did not respond at all in any way. Carol talked to me about it and said that there wasn't six people on the PNB that would support it. And that's the crux of the problem, is that the balance on the PNB of representatives from stations who are wanting to keep a lot of power, even though their stations are failing and not in alignment with the goals of our mother station, which is KPFA in terms of news and public affairs broadcasting, it becomes very challenging. So the way I see it, it's the only way we're going to actually, one possible way would be if we had enough votes from the general membership because of KPFA having more members. It's a question.
Well, actually, if 500 people,
members
of KPFA got together a serious revision of the bylaws, proposed it, rejected by the PNB, PMB then has to submit it to the membership for a vote. To pass, you need a quorum. A quorum is 10% of the membership. In this case, that'd be about 4,500 people voting. So it's a majority of at least a quorum. If there was a campaign and there was some money, KPFA could probably pass the membership, the KPFA membership, given that we're 16 or 17,000 people, we could probably pass a significant revision to the bylaws. I believe we could. And frankly, I think that's what we should do.
Thank you.
Carol?
I think that what you're saying is true in terms of if, and if. The problem I see is, one, what would that bylaw be? And would we fight over that and get into a toxic factional campaign so that we couldn't pass it, and yet spent a tremendous amount of money doing it. My daughter calls me Debbie Downer.
Okay.
But this is. I still think that this is very important, and I'm really glad that the CAB had its questions, the questions about structure and bylaws and size and stuff like that. And it's really raising a lot of questions about what should Pacifica be? I know that this is heresy in Berkeley. But personally, and also as a safe KPFA person, I think what's important is Pacifica, especially what's going on in the world. I think we need a national, functioning, radical network. And I think the existence, especially of our affiliate stations, in addition to being in the five core stations, is extremely significant. We could be something. We're the only non-corporate, which is why we're all here and which is why we all care, I think, is because we all believe and understand that. Although some of us feel like, let's preserve KPFA because that's the only thing that can happen because everything is so up.
Dysfunction.
Our beep up. In any case. So, but us discussing all of this, I mean, my vision actually, which was, the rest of you will strangle me over, make me pay for, in your threads of attack. I don't think there should be elections. I don't think there should be LSBs. I think there should be CABs, and I think there should be a central management because we've got fascism lurking in the halls here and there of our government, and we have chaos in Yemen and Palestine and homelessness and.
Let's talk about the structure.
Yes, Steve.
Well, I know what some plans are about Pacifica. You've laid it out pretty clearly.
What plans?
The plan is, the proposals are, to make it more like a corporate operation, top-down corporate operation.
There's no way to do it.
You have advisory boards making comments, and basically you have a self-appointing group of people at the top. That's Bill Moyers or some other Democrats who want to make things better. Running Pacifica. That's not going to get you a radical Pacifica. The Democratic Party is not going to get you a radical Pacifica. Corporatization of Pacifica. With all the problems we actually have people who have different points of view, who have different thoughts, and debate and discuss. And that is something that is important. If you had a corporate board as is being proposed, you would basically, there'd be no really debate and discussion. People should take a look at what happened at K2B, which is, I think, a goal that you would have. They have a self-appointing board at KQED. There used to be a labor representative on KPFA at KQED. They got rid of the first labor representative.
Yeah.
They also don't have any kind of real way that the membership of KQED can have an effect on what happens at KQED. So whatever the members of KQED want, it's all up to the board because they have no elections. And getting rid of elections is a way that you would basically take away the supporters of KPFA and Pacifica to really have a say. And also this would lead directly to corporate and foundation funding of KPFA. That's what would happen. Because if we're in a financial crisis, we've got to have corporate and grant and foundation grants. That's the only way we're going to survive. That argument has been put forward by people at Pacifica and KPFA, but we have to have corporate funding. We have to have foundation funding. That will take place if you change the bylaws to allow us.
Thank you, Todd. First of all, I would like to respond to something first, is that you missed most of the presentation that Carol just gave on the proposal of the bylaws. And nowhere in here is included that the suggestion that it become a corporate board. So whereas Carol expressed a philosophical construct of her own as an idea, that is not what is in this proposal. There's nowhere in here that it states that. So I suggest it would be good for you to educate yourself, look over the proposal that they took all the time to write up and see exactly what the construct of that is. I think that Bill was next.
Well, what I think about this is that there were these five separate entities who want to be five separate entities and who do not want to be involved in a nationally organized radio network. They don't behave like they want to be part of a network. They like the money, but they don't like being told what to do by a, national organization. So you can't have a national organization that doesn't have some structure that represents the national organization within it. So there could be a balance between the local interest of each station and the national interest in the network. And so my proposal has been, and I've written up, is that there would be some at large or national directors, and there would be some local station directors, and there would be some balance between the two. Without that balance, you never have an effective national network. And the fact of the matter is that the network is on its knees. It's got a $3 million debt or greater that it has to pay in a couple of years. The network is failing as a network. So either you change the structure to get some kind of, hybrid structure, which allows for the national interest to be represented on the board, or it's just going to continue to fail. That's all. So that means that each station has to succeed on its own, and each station goes off in its own direction. That's not a national network. So you either split up, or you get some structure that's
functional.
That functions nationally.
Thank you. Sharon was next.
Okay. Yes, I agree. We're not really debating the bylaws, but I did want to just say that, Steve, when you mentioned underwriting, I just find it interesting because it is a fact that other stations are already engaged in underwriting. That's how they're trying to make their budget. So, it's very easy to throw around words that sound all grandiose and wonderful, but the reality is that like Bill just said, I mean, the network is in huge financial trouble. Other stations are engaged in underwriting, which I personally oppose. They're playing music and not even, you know, politics, which is supposed to be part of the mission. So, I mean, you know, it's great in theory, but let's deal with reality. Okay, and then the other thing, that's just what I wanted to say on the underwriting. I also just want to say we can't change the structure here. All we can do is vote on the bylaw proposals, and I really thank Carol for the presentation because it was great to have 23 pages put down into one, and I actually seriously appreciate that. So we all will get to vote, and as Carol predicted, none of them will pass, and we'll just be in a typical Pacific situation where nothing ever changes. The only thing that we could like, apparently, by our actions, what we like best about Pacifica is its dysfunctional governance structure. I mean, you know, actions speak louder than words, and when people talk about preserving Pacifica, that seems to be the main thing that we all agree must be continued. The final thing I want to say is that the loan is going to bring this problem to a head within this next year, because 18 months of the interest payments were being set aside in the escrow. 6 months have gone by, more than 6 months, so there's another year. And then after that, Pacifica is going to have to come up with actual money to pay back. So, you know, all these stations that aren't even paying their central services and stuff, they're all just, you know, where's the money coming from? So crisis, shock doctrine, asset stripping, that's all coming down the road, and that's what we should be talking about.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah. And I have to thank you. Actually, no. Chris was next.
Okay. All right.
We're back.
Okay. Bye, Aki.
Bye, Aki. Good to see you.
Go get some sandwiches. Bring them back.
Yeah. I'm gonna see you.
Okay. Anthony's next then.
For a non-action item, this is a more an abundant amount of time. So let's I move that we move the agenda. Let's go on.
I'm with you, but Marilla hasn't spoken on anything at all yet in all meetings. So I would let Marilla speak, and then let's move on after that.
Right. Thank you. I think I'm hearing is that there's nowhere on the horizon a date or a definition of when the different stations are going to be accountable for their financial. Is that correct?
Well, as Tom said, there is negotiating and there's an attempt to figure out what this financial group will or will not do to get its arms around so that we can get our arms around what is the actual financial status of each of the stations and all of the functioning. And where there's a sense of urgency on the PNB, which is a sign of some realistic understanding of what Sharon just raised about, you know, that we really have to understand what's going on. So I don't think there's a deadline, and the deadline always moves whenever we have a deadline. But we are seriously trying to figure it out, I would say, soon, immediately. We want to get the 2018 audit done, the 2017 and 2018 audits done. We're soon.
So that's the major thing.
But not just that, we just don't know, you know, we don't know how much is in every bank account in Houston or every bank account in Washington or how many bank accounts there are and how many bills they have and what are the bills and when are they due and what's overdue. We don't have our arms around. There is no place that, and we're trying to, which has been true, by the way, for decades. This is not new. Decades. I've asked people for decades. And so, and also there's been a feeling that Sharon expressed that we're going to collapse. And we had that feeling with the ESRT loan, that we are going to collapse. And we never do, which doesn't mean we won't.
Pacifica, but if Pacifica collapses, we collapse. And right, so I don't know, but let me just say, I'm no Democrat, Zeltzer. I have communist roots that come from the core of my bones to the, you know, anyway, so.
This is Marilla's time. I'm just
right.
Trying to keep her
here. Okay, that's it.
Marilla, you still have time.
Yeah,
more to say.
Bye.
From what you're saying, it's going to be like within the year that we're going to be forced to understand realities that they've been blocking for decades.
We'll see. We're working hard.
Yeah.
We're working hard, right?
Definitely.
We're working very hard.
But if you don't even understand what the situation is at the various stations,
but we're trying to do that.
Well, that's the top.
That is the top.
They are trying to do that, and they're working on doing that.
Yes.
Thank you. Before we lose anybody else, because we're dropping like boys down here, I suggested it, and I just turned out. So I would like to say, first of all, thank you very much to Sabrina, who left, because she had to go support her, to Chris, Tom, and Carol for their hard work as our representatives before the Pacifica National Board. It is a really hard job, and it is frequently very contentious with lots of personal attacks, which nobody should have to take in any situation. People should be able to be civilized to another. But thank you very much for all that you do to represent us before the Pacifica National Board, all of you. And I would also like to take a moment to thank Carol Travis, who has given years of service and dedication to our local station board and now the Pacifica National Board. This is her last meeting. She has been tireless and absolutely
tired.
Focused. Yeah, you think you're tired now, but you've been tirelessly working. And I've seen that, and I think we've all seen that. And it's something that she's had personal attacks and very vicious attacks. And but she's kept on with the vision of really trying to make things better in the PND and in the LSV and the world. And we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And with that, I think I might go home. But then I shut down this.
Okay, well, we have announcements next. Understood. Announcements.
Okay, so I'll wait. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll wait.
I wanted to announce that efforts are going to be made to stream the public education rally in Oakland on January 12th, Saturday, January 12th. There's a likelihood of a big strike of teachers in Los Angeles and in Oakland. And one of the reasons is that they're trying to break the unions and bring in charter schools. They're trying to privatize the districts. And this is a threat to all public education. California, as you all know, is a very rich state. We have a budget surplus of $13 billion. We're going to have, I think, $48 billion surplus next year, end of 2019. They say they don't have enough money for schools, and we're $48 billion in funding for schools. So this struggle in California and the Bay Area for our schools is critical. And the rally's been called by the unions, the public education unions, and parents groups and others to have this mass rally at Oscar Grant Plaza, like the Power Plaza, on the 12th of noon. So we're assembling together a team of people at KPFA and supporters of KPFA to stream the rally live and to interview students, teachers, parents, and advocates of public education, and also try to get that on the front page of the KPFA website. And I would say that something like this really should be advertised on KPFA. As we're advertising these movies, you know, the fundraiser for the movies, how about advertising a rally for public education and encouraging people to go to that, and then we'll be streamed live? That would be a good way of getting more audience, getting more support, and supporting the teachers' unions. If we can get the teachers' unions to support KPFA and to put KPFA programming on their website, because we're going to have the rally live, that would reach an audience that we haven't reached. So we have to think about how we can use our media platform in new ways to reach out to organizations and groups who are sympathetic to what we want, which is to defend public education.
I support the things that you're talking about. Because we are a FCC licensed radio station that gives, we are not advocates for, we're not, I think we, our programming can reflect things that we have public announcements, but for us to become, a state, there are lines that I'm not figuring the words to use, that we have to be careful not to cross so that we're not a advocate organization rather than a media public FCC's licensed media organization.
Right. I'm sure we will cover it. I'm pretty sure that you'll have it on your show, Steve. I would think.
This
is going back and forth.
We're going to have
Tom, what's next?
I just wanted to say in Washington State, where I reside, we got rid of charter schools, right? We're not going to do any more.
Good.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
Are there any more announcements? If not, we'll move on to the new KPFA outreach plan, and that was you, Carol.
So this board is charged with doing outreach and fundraising, and I wanted to hear from all of you any suggestions you may have for outreach. My idea has been production of program guides so that we let people know what programming we have and invite them to become members and to distribute those widely. I'd like to hear if anybody has any ideas.
Use of mic.
I agree with Steve that we really need to make the presence of that gender. Get a lot of outreach there from people because they know and we have, maybe if we could collect a list of the shows that we've had, like Education Day and other people who've done shows that are archived, we could pass those out to teachers so that they will know this is just some kind of five a night thing, but that we've been dedicated and we want to be dedicated more. And I would like to help work on that. That's really good. I'm on my own computer, but they're excellent shows, and you really need people who are versed about that because this is happening in Washington. I don't think the teachers that I saw at the rally at Jeffries know what's going on in Washington, and it's important.
That's a great idea. Thank you, Marilla. I'll just say that anybody who has an idea is going forward, now is not the only time. If anything occurs to you, definitely please bring it up to Carol, who's on the desk. She's done but by the way, thanking anybody, I would thank Carol locally because she does an astonishingly great job of outreach, and she is tireless. Thank you. And now evaluation forms and confidentiality. Carol, did you want to comment on that? She has sent the forms out many times, as we all know. We should have many copies in our email by now.
Yeah, so I have a proposal that we use the KPFA resolution. KPFA MSB, we use the evaluation forms from 2005. That related to the general manager evaluation.
Second.
It's been seconded. The motion. Any discussion? All those in favor, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All those opposed? Abstentions?
2.
Is Ahmad still there?
Ahmad's gone.
Okay. 6, yes. 2.
So the motion passes.
And Rams
for
sent.
That's Sharon, right. What was it? How many were yes? 2 abstentions.
The new business.
6 yes, 2 abstentions.
Yes. Yes, Carol.
I move we adjourn.
Second. I second that.
Wasn't there something about confidentiality on the evaluation forms?
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
I just want to mention that confidentiality. We are charged with confidentiality in the evaluation process, and that means that it is our responsibility not to be discussing the job performance of management in publicly. And please do not assume that part of the CIPSA policy is that we do not assume that email is confidential.
Thank you, Carol. And we have a motion to adjourn that's on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor? Okay. Unanimous. Boy, we never get that. Okay. Thank you, guys. And everybody, I want to wish you a very happy
New Year. Happy New Year.
Peace and prosperity and stop the wars, all of them.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.